fucking awesome. Come on, it's gonna be fucking awesome.
You know the words.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
That's insane.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Hi ho, everybody! It's Jesse Blaze Snyder, your friendly neighborhood Snyder Man, and I am coming at you with the rest of my Batman reading chronology. And I have to say, I said it at the end of the other video, in order to really enjoy the stuff on this list and towards the end of the previous list that I gave you, you need to read the Batman on the previous list. If you don't really know the stories of all the individual Robins and some of the early stories that establish the character of Batman, I mean, really establish his character in modern day, the combination, the revisionist history of all the wonderful creators who've worked on him over the years, you know, it really started to come about in the 70s when all the different versions of the character kind of came to... came to a head, and we got that sort of like best version of Batman, where it was all the best parts of the character all rolled into one. Batman has been kicking ass like that for a long time now, but you really need to do yourself a favor and go read those stories, because they're awesome, awesome, awesome stories, like Batman Venom, which is one of my favorites. Definitely read that. I was going to go over which ones you needed to read again, but just like listen to that list. That list is great. There's tons and tons of awesome Batman on that list. And yeah, I mean, just literally read everything that I recommended there before you read this stuff. But this has got some great stuff too. Okay, we are just going to jump into it. We've got Batman Broken City by Brian Azzarello and Edward Rizzo. Brian Azzarello and Edward Rizzo are a team that work famously on a book called 100 Bullets. 100 Bullets is great. I recommend that to anybody. That was a recommendation for the Reading Comics 101. I don't remember this one specifically, but it was great to have the two of them on the book. I remember it being really good. I just don't remember exactly what the story was about. Batman Arkham Asylum Living Hell by Dan Slott and Ryan Sook. Now, this is an early one for Dan Slott before he became Dan Slott, if you recognize that name. He's gone on to write all sorts of great stuff, but some of his earliest work was at DC, some really great Batman the Animated Series stuff. And I mean it, really, really good stuff there. But when he wrote this miniseries, Living Hell, which introduces... I think his name is like Great White or White Shark or something like that. He introduces a couple new characters into the Arkham Asylum idea. I think Jane Doe might get introduced here. There's a few different characters that get introduced in this book by Dan Slott. And there's some really great ideas. Really, really great miniseries. Highly recommend this one. But again, this is an established Batman. The established Batman that you need to read in all those other graphic novels in my previous podcast, but this is a great one, great book. Okay, so another classic evergreen bit, and I mean, theoretically speaking, you don't need to read anything else. You could jump into this one at any point in time, but it's really wonderful. It's Superman, Batman, Public Enemies. Public Enemies is the first story arc of many different story arcs that come after Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness get on to Batman and Superman. And this Batman and Superman series by Jeff Loeb, it's just so well done, because it just constantly is juxtaposing Batman and Superman. This is why we like Batman. This is why we like Superman. This is what Superman's about. This is what Batman's about. And the characters are opposites in a lot of ways, but also have a lot of common ground. The series is awesome. You know, some arcs are better than others. There's some really great Supergirl stuff in there. Some really great artists who come in to draw the book at different times to like fill in for Ed McGuinness. But there's a lot of work of Ed McGuinness. Ed McGuinness is one of my favorite artists. It's great. He's beautiful. I mean, all of his work looks like some like anime lollipop or something. You just want to lick it. Lick you. Yummy, yummy, yummy art. Like his art looks like candy. it goes on for a while, this Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness run. Like I said, there's other artists involved as well, but it'll if you got into it, you could kind of get into that series at any point in time, and there'd be, you know, many seasons of the book for you to read. Yeah, I love that one. Okay, moving on. We got Batman War Drums and War Games 1 through 3 by Brubaker, Ruka, and Devin Grayson, to name just a few. Those are just some of the people who are writing. This is an interesting storyline. I won't say it's my favorite, but it is really good. There's plenty of great work in it because Ed Brubaker and Greg Rucka are killers. Really, really good. Devin Grayson can be a little hit and miss for me, but does a lot of good work. I like her a lot. And there's a whole bunch of different artists and writers who were working on the Batman books at this time, because these War Drums and War Games, they collect a whole bunch of different series that were going on. So it's a mix of people who were working on the book, but it was a pretty good crossover, I remember. I remember being very engaged with it. Involved Spoiler, I'm pretty sure. And I think maybe this might be part of the storyline. Spoiler is Tim Drake's girlfriend, troubled girlfriend, from the pages of Robin by Chuck Dixon, which I had recommended in the previous episode. This was good. I remember it being awesome. It wasn't my favorite, but it was a great one. Okay, moving on. There's some stuff that I put on this list that are more mainstream kind of DC books. But once you have Batman established for you and you really get who that character is, getting into some of these big DC events that have been good ones is worth your while. And to start that off, perhaps Identity Crisis by Brad Meltzer and Rags Morales, who's, oh man, I love his artwork, Rags. Identity Crisis is really great. It's been criticized a lot at this point for, I don't know, you know, whatever cultural things that it's taboos it's breaking or whatever, but it's a very interesting book in that it deals with rape. It takes these villains, and I, you know, I know a lot of people don't like the heroes and the things being taken to this place, but it was really well done, well handled. It's a gorgeous book. Every character who's featured in it is honored so well, just kicks so much ass, looks like themselves, acts like themselves. You know, there's a great scene with Deathstroke in the book as an example, where he takes out a big chunk of the Justice League, and he, you know, does it with ease. But at the same time, there's a little narration there that makes you go, oh, cool, like he's talking to you about how he's taking them out and his process of, you know, his thought process getting them all. And it's just great. The whole book is fire. It really does elevate the material of the comics world in a lot of interesting ways. Makes it really palpable, the tension. And it's one of the most interesting comic book miniseries events that DC has ever done. They've really done nothing else like it before or since. And I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Identity Crisis. I'd recommend that one wholeheartedly. Moving on. We got Under the Hood by Winnick and Doug Menk. I think that's how you pronounce his name, Menk. I follow him on Instagram. He's the best. You want to follow an artist on Instagram that has some really interesting things that he posts? Doug Menk. Huh. Hell yeah, man. So cool to follow him. Such an honor. He's one of my favorite artists. He's so cool. He's got such a dark style. And Judd Winnick is a writer who I really like. Judd, I think, can be a little bit controversial in some circles. Some people don't really care for him and have like passionate feelings about him. I have passionate feelings about him that I like him. I really like the Green Lantern series that he wrote, featuring Kyle Rayner. I love Kyle Rayner, Green Lantern, and I like a lot of that stuff because of Judd Winnick. I've read a lot of different Judd Winnick books. He used to do a book at DC, I mean, at Marvel, the Exiles book he worked on for a little while. There's a lot. He's written a lot of different comics over the years, and I like his work a lot. I followed him around because I follow writers. And Under the Hood, Under the Red Hood by him and Doug Menk is great. And this is kind of a bit of a follow-up to the Hush storyline. Was the last comic book that I recommended in the previous video for Batman. In the Batman Hush book, it was kind of suggested this idea of Jason Todd maybe being back from the dead. And I actually would have loved to for that to have been true, and for it to turn out to have been Hush. That was Jason Todd was Hush, in the Hush book. But they ended up bringing him back a little bit later. This is the storyline they brought him back in. I think they did an animated version of this, which is maybe even arguably better than this thing. But this is pretty cool. I think this contains, or at least is linked to, the beating of the walls of reality by Superboy Prime to like get out of this pocket dimension they were in. And he shatters the dimensions and it brings a couple people back from the dead. And Jason's one of them. And this is like a silly little part of the storyline, but the part of the storyline that is rooted in Batman's history and in making Batman feel things. Oh, that's great. You know, so I was watching some video the other day and somebody said, by doing Batman and Robin first in the new DC universe, before we've actually told the tales of all of these Robins, we're losing all of the Batman character development. And dude, that is so true. So much of Batman's character development does come to you via his friends, his supporting characters, and the Robins in particular. That, you know, it's a really big bit of that. So if you're into the Red Hood character, this Robin that got beat to death by the Joker, I won't tell you how. You got to go read The Death in the Family, which is one of the other books that I recommended in the previous Batman episode. I think you guys can find your ways to Under the Red Hood. Let's move on to the next one. Infinite Crisis by Geoff Johns and Phil Jimenez. Infinite Crisis, again, another identity crisis. You're going to see a theme, this crisis thing. Infinite Crisis is really, really great. It's really well done. Batman and, you know, I mean, any of these really good DC events, Batman and Superman are at the center of them. You know, they always find a good thing to do with these characters. Geoff Johns is one of the great writers for DC, period. He does some great Batman, as you'll see in a second. I've got some more down the list for that is amazing from him. Let's continue. Oh, and these Infinite Crisis books, they're real end of the world kind of stuff. They usually have to deal with how many universes there are in the multiverse, shrinking it down or expanding it or whatever it might be. But they're just crazy earth-shaking events. And some of them have been handled really well and are really great. Okay, so moving on, we've got some Batman that comes out around this time. It's collected into, I wrote here, hopefully this is right, Batman Detective and Death in the City and Heart of Hush by Paul Dini. Oh yeah, I think the first trade paperback is called Batman Detective by Paul Dini. And there's a bunch of different trade paperbacks by Paul Dini. I recommend them all. Even his Batman animated stuff is really great. A lot of that's been collected into larger editions. Paul Dini also has a book that he did with Alex Ross called War on Crime. That's like it's huge. It's essentially like a poster book. Awesome. It's just a really simple little story between him and Alex Ross painting, fully painted Batman. It's beautiful. Paul Dini's work on Batman is some of the best work that you can find on Batman. Paul Dini's well known for the Batman animated series, working on that. He's written so much animation for TV. He is a brilliant creative person. His writing is amazing. And some of these issues here within his run on Batman from this time that was collected are some of my favorite issues of Batman ever written. Single issue in particular. This like best single issue of Batman I've ever read in my life. Like there's a really great issue. I just remember the cover with the Joker, and he's got Tim Drake Robin all tied up in the front seat, looking like he's like beat to crap. And this happens in the book. The Joker's driving around with Robin beat up and tied up, and it's awesome, man. It's just like, multiple times there are great single issues, and there are great story arcs here. You know, like the one of the last ones that I mentioned there was the Heart of Hush, which is a follow-up to the Hush character. I think it was the first time he got brought back, and Paul Dini did a really good job bringing him back and making it matter and adding more to his storyline. Paul Dini's run here on Batman, I highly recommend this one. It's a great one. But of course, this run is based on all the things that came previous to it. So, you know, if you really want to enjoy this, do yourself a favor and, you know, read all the stuff I recommended in Batman Reading Part 1. Okay, moving on here. We've got Batman the Black Casebook with an intro by Morrison. Okay, so this is an interesting one, and this might not necessarily be for everybody. I'm going to get into some Grant Morrison recommendations in the Batman world in a little bit, but Grant Morrison's run is pretty trippy, psychedelic in some ways. He brings in some characters and some scenarios from the Batman mythology that are things that would, you know, I don't know. I think everybody generally assumed, well, that didn't really happen. These are stories from like the 60s, and they are really over the top. And some of them are really dark in a way or two because they're so over the top. It was like flip and silly, whatever it was that they did. And Grant Morrison, he just pulls these ideas out, and he used a lot of them in his Batman run to great effectiveness, I might add. A lot of his Batman work is just fire. I haven't actually read everything. So and you know, this list, last list, I said that, oh, you know, I didn't necessarily read everything. I read, I think, everything that was on the previous list. This list, though, will get into a little bit of new Batman territory. So some things are, you know, a little bit more recent or whatever else, and I haven't necessarily had a chance to read it myself. But Morrison has written some of the best Batman stuff I've ever read. And in the Black Casebook, which just has an introduction from Grant Morrison, it collects key issues from the period of time that Grant Morrison was, you know, pulling his creativity from, so that you can see where some of these weirdo ideas come from. So this Black Casebook with the intro by Morrison, it's a collection of just some really kind of weirdo 60s, 70s, I'm not even sure exactly when they're from, they might even been from earlier than that, Batman books. So if you're interested in taking a deep dive into this sort of weird world of Batman, check out this Batman the Black Casebook. It is a really good intro for you to the Grant Morrison Batman run, which contains a lot of these ideas within, and you will enjoy it that much more. Your experience will be that much more rich because you'll recognize what he's referencing and why he's doing things the way he's doing it, hopefully. Anyway, I never actually read the Black Casebook, so I've been told about these things. I have an awareness of some of the ideas and things that he picked up from the thing, but I didn't read it myself. But I thought it was really cool when I came across this with the intro by Morrison. I was like, oh, the Black Casebook. I remember this guy, all the collection of all the issues that contain the ideas that he based a lot of his run on Batman. Okay, now we got Batman and Son, the resurrection of Ra's al Ghul, and Rest in Peace. Now, this is all Morrison. Batman and Son, this is Grant Morrison taking the wheel of the Batman franchise, and you know all the little references he's making because of the Black Casebook that you already read. Rest in Peace, in particular, is, it is good. It's heavy. There's some really interesting... Grant Morrison went out of his way to bring new villains to the franchise, and he succeeded. He brought a number of new villains to the Batman franchise that have stuck, that have been reused by other people to great effectiveness. You know, is it Mr. Pig or Dr. Pig? Pig with a Y. And Dr. Hurt. And there's some really, really cool things that come out of here. I won't spoil too much of it. But this is where it all starts. The Batman and Son thing, him getting introduced to Damian Wayne, which this picks up on the Son of a Demon. And I forget what the full trade paperback was. It collects a few different of the Demon stories by Denny O'Neill. And one of them is where Talia al Ghul, Batman, they have a baby. And Grant Morrison picks up the story all these years later and introduces Batman to his son, who has been raised by the Al Ghuls. And Talia is such an interesting character. She's so smart and intelligent. You really, in previous appearances from Talia, you like love her and hate her just a little bit, and you know, she's like the scorned lover from Batman, but like you really kind of want Batman to be with her because Batman deserves a woman like her. She's beautiful, she's smart, she really wants to do something with her life. She wants to make the world a better place. Granted, like her dad, she wants to murder a lot of people in order to achieve this goal, but it really, Talia al Ghul is such a great love interest for Batman because she actually matches his scope, and she seems to sort of widen his depth and his scope by just existing in his world. And for him to have this baby with her, it's like, of course, this baby's going to be perfect. But Grant Morrison knew that everybody was going to hate this freaking kid. He's perfect. He's the son of this perfect woman and this perfect man. And he's been raised by these villains, and he is just an asshat, and you love to hate him. And I'm excited to some degree to see this character brought to life on the big screen, but not at the expense of not getting Dick Grayson, Tim Drake, and Jason Todd first. Really drives me crazy. But these books are great. These books are great to read. I wish they weren't adapting them so soon into the films, but these are great books. Highly recommend them. That's Batman and Son, Batman the Resurrection of Ra's al Ghul, and Batman Rest in Peace. Continuing from here, you'll go not into Batman, but you go into Final Crisis, which is also by Grant Morrison. Again, this is another big event at DC Comics, bringing all these different characters together. Any good one centers a little bit around Batman and Superman, and this one is no different. Grant Morrison really does some cool things with Batman. Batman is front and center here. I won't spoil anything. This book was hard to read when it was on the stands and it was coming out month after month, because Grant Morrison does not waste a single panel. And if you like glance at a panel, you'll probably miss some huge plot point. Going back and reading it in trade paperback form, where all the issues were collected, it is probably one of my favorite events for DC of all time. I think Morrison just killed it. It's drawn by so many amazing artists and very, very Batman-centric. This leads to a lot of very interesting Batman things. Essentially, coming out of this, I don't want to spoil any of the storyline here. But let's just say for a little while, the Batman mantle is taken over by Dick Grayson, and there's a Batman and Robin book. Like, again, they're doing Batman and Robin, but Batman and Robin, it's Dick Grayson and Damian. So is James Gunn doing Dick Grayson with Damian? That was cool, because Damian is Bruce's son. Dick Grayson is Bruce's ward, and he's raising this illegitimate kid from the supervillain family of the Al Ghuls for Bruce Wayne, you know, helping him out as his Batman to the Robin. And this Robin is very dark, and Nightwing, or this Batman in this case, Dick Grayson, Dick is lighter. He's an acrobat, he's a sweet guy. So Batman has traditionally been the dark character and Robin's been the light character. This was a cool switch because Batman's the light character and Robin's the dark character. This series here, Batman and Robin by Morrison and Frank Quietly. Frank Quietly is a favorite artist of mine. He does such great work here. It introduces so many interesting characters, or continues with some of the new characters that have been introduced. And I can't recommend Batman and Robin enough. This series will go on for a while, this Grant Morrison run here where Dick Grayson is Batman. There is a mini series that also comes out around this time. I think it's called Time and the Batman, The Return of Bruce Wayne. That series is weird. I can't say I necessarily love that one. It's weird. It's a very weird series, The Return of Bruce Wayne. But it's Grant Morrison. It's part of his thing. You don't necessarily need to read it to understand everything else, but I do think it helps to some degree. So you might want to check this one out if you're in for a penny, in for a pound on the Grant Morrison Batman stuff, which you should be, because it's all really awesome. But like, if you read some of this early Morrison stuff and you're like, I don't know if it's the greatest comics ever, then skip the Return of Bruce Wayne. So from here, it gets into a project where Morrison continues with my buddy Chris Burnham at the head of it. I was doing a puzzle the other day, a Harley Quinn puzzle that I bought for my daughter for Christmas. And all of a sudden, I'm like looking at it and I realize, hey, wait a second. This is by my buddy Chris Burnham. And I take a picture of it and I send it to him. And he's like, hey, my most used piece of art, a piece of Harley Quinn art. It's really cool. I think it might be from this Batman Incorporated period of time. He drew so many. I mean, I've known Chris Burnham for a long time. He and I came up in comics together. He's one of my many Chicago and creative friends out there. Shout out to all of you in Chicago. There's so many people out there. Tim Seeley and Jill Thompson. And you put me on the spot. Mike Norton. There are others. John Suntress. Sorry. I can't think when I'm on the spot. Last week, I didn't do what I normally do. I edit out a lot of like ums and yeah and like or whatever else. I didn't do it because it was my birthday. And I was like, I'm not editing anything. But I was actually very impressed by the show and I liked it better. I thought it was more natural and sounded, I don't know. I liked listening to it. I liked listening to it a mark better than previous episodes that I've listened to afterwards. So that was cool. And I feel like I'm probably going to do that again. Barring anything major. Anyway, Batman Incorporated is really cool. It's basically about Batman going corporate, man, corporatizing the Batman mantle, opening up chapters of Batman all around the world. We need a Batman in Singapore. We need a Batman in South America. We need a Batman on the island of Tasmania. So there's all these Batmans and there's all these Robins and they're all analogs and some of them come from the history of Batman and Robin and the lore, the history of DC Comics. It's all very awesome. There just feels like there's a lot going on. You can really just imagine. I was talking the other day about how good toys and good toy lines and good storylines, they make people want to play with toys. They make people want to play with toys because the concepts, the basic ideas of the things are so exciting that they inspire you and they make you go, ooh, 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 what if I did this? What if I tried this? How would we do this? Ooh, you know what would happen if this? Or what would happen if this? That's what you want from a good anything, a good premise. That there are stories that'll just go on for forever. You get a lot of that with Batman Incorporated. There are just so many ideas introduced and little setups for things. It'll have you playing in your mind with all the possible concepts of what Batman Incorporated can be for a very, very long time. And of course, the artwork is gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous. And the writing kills as well. All right, so we're moving past our Grant Morrison chapter of our Batman reading. And we're going to get into the Scott Snyder and Friends chapter of our meeting. You can start things out for Batman Black Mirror for Scott Snyder and Friends. We're also going to recommend The Court of Owls, Death of the Family, to Dark Knight's Metal. These are all Scott Snyder bits. You start with that Black Mirror. I'm pretty sure that's the first bit of his Batman writing. And it might be a Dick Grayson Batman story. Some of these here in this period of time was when Dick Grayson was under the mask. And I think Scott Snyder did some writing while he was under the mask. Scott is also, full disclosure, good friend of mine. Scott was trying to get me into the Batman office, as was Mike Martz, one of the editors over there, during the Death of the Family storyline. This stuff was great. Scott came along and really just did a journeyman great job on some of the ancillary Batman books, really turned some heads. And quickly they gave him some, you know, a chance to do some Batman work, some real stuff on the main title. And one of the first things he did was this Court of Owls story. And the Court of Owls is probably going to be adapted on the big screen very soon. It was brilliant. It was really, really well done. Again, another introduction of new Batman villains into the mythology that have stuck around, that a lot of things have been done with because of the quality of the concepts. I highly recommend all of these, even though at a certain point in time, you lose me. I wasn't reading anymore. I haven't read the Dark Knight's Metal stuff. I've heard mixed things here or there. I'm sure people who are big fans of Scott's run on the book probably enjoy those things. So, you know, go read Black Mirror and definitely read The Court of Owls and probably Death of the Family too. That's the one where the Joker like cuts the skin off his face and stuff. If you enjoy those arcs of the book, keep reading. I know he's got his name on a ton of Batman books. His buddy James Tynion, he brought in as like a, I don't know, as kind of a number two to support him on some ancillary titles and stuff. James Tynion's also really good. If you see his name on Batman books, a lot of their stuff tied together in really nice ways, symbiotic ways. Yeah, I highly recommend Scott Snyder on any Batman stuff, but start with Black Mirror and Court of Owls. Okay, moving on. This is awesome. This is one of the most recent things on this list here. We're going to start getting into sort of future storylines and just abstract things that I want you to check out. The most recent Batman thing that I have read, too, it's called Batman Three Jokers. It is so incredible. I mean, Batman Three Jokers is just... It feels so classic. I don't even know how to describe it any other way than to just say it will ring all of your bells of the Killing Joke and every other thing. I mean, it really goes out of its way to ring bells when it comes to the killing joke. The artist Jason Fabok, F-A-B-O-K. He is awesome. He is one of the best artists in recent memory. His expressions that he puts on these characters' faces is just unreal. This is a story. There's three different versions of the Joker in this story. It also features very heavy, obviously, on Batman, but also on Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, and Jason Todd, the Red Hood. It's awesome, man. It's really awesome. And if you've done your Batman reading, if you know your Batman history, you're going to just enjoy the fuck out of it. It's essentially a sequel to The Killing Joke to some degree, but it's a continuation of the Batman mythology in all the best ways. Highly recommend Batman Three Jokers, and just so gorgeous. One of the most beautiful comic books you will ever read. I have a huge full-size poster from Jason Fabok from that series. It was one of his covers that he did of the Joker. Like I said, his work is so expressive. Just so expressive. I can't say enough. Yeah, get your hands on Batman Three Jokers. Another Geoff Johns book. Such a huge Geoff Johns fan. Geoff Johns in general, like all these things in general, what an easy way to get into comics it is when you have all the great ones recommended. All the ones that are by all the great writers and all the great artists. The great writers in particular are the ones you follow because great writers, the good work always goes with them. The great artists, sometimes they have stories that are written by terrible writers, and a terrible writer drawn by a great artist is okay, but it's not great. But these great writers... Geoff Johns is somebody. You can follow him all around the DC universe. You can even follow him over to Marvel for a little bit of work over there. He did some great things over there. I think he did a Thing miniseries as well as an Avengers arc or two. That was great. Really, really great. Right before Brian Michael Bendis came along and blew up the Avengers mansion and did all of his new Avengers stuff, Geoff Johns had come on to the Avengers and really made that book awesome for a second. And I almost feel like Brian Michael Bendis's dismantling of the Avengers only worked because Geoff Johns had come and made you care about the Avengers as they had traditionally been depicted. I wished that he had done more work over at Marvel, but it was short run. Anyway, Geoff Johns, he's such a great person to follow. Grant Morrison, such a great person to follow. You can follow him over to Marvel for a little bit. His work on the X-Men was incredible. He did a bunch of little miniseries that were really cool, a little Marvel Boy thing that was cool. A lot of these creators have vast wealth of work under their belts. So seriously, as you read these things, if you get into them, if you're like, oh, this is great, I really like this writer, go look up their name. Look up their name, man. Go find all their work. That's the coolest thing about comics is when you can find some creator that you like, there's a very good chance they've probably done more than just that comic. And you can find just hundreds of books all of a sudden that you didn't know you were going to love. And like, that's it. That's the best thing. It's like when you find a film director or a film writer that you like or a TV show you like. Oh my God, I've got 7 seasons of this. Amazing. So highly recommend that. Okay. Now we're going to move into Batman's future a little bit. This is considered one of the greatest Batman stories ever told. I think it's great. The follow-ups that Frank Miller did, I think suck ass pretty good. But the initial bit of Batman, The Dark Knight Returns, this is awesome. A lot of the cool visuals of Batman and Superman that Zack Snyder did in the Batman vs. Superman movie, they came from this comic book. It was really weird for them to come from this comic book because this comic book is like a dystopian future where Superman has become a tool of the government and Batman has to stand up to him with the kryptonite and all these things. I don't really think that that story works for a modern day story of Batman and Superman meeting for the first time. But as a story in the past, I mean, not in the past, in the far future of this old grizzled Batman having to go up against Superman to defend the, you know, our freedom, to defend our freedom. That I think is worthwhile. That I think is awesome. And that I can recommend. Awesome book. Of course, you've heard it recommended before, Batman, The Dark Knight Returns. But maybe you haven't read or heard recommended before, Batman Year 100, which is by Paul Pope. Really cool artist writer did his own little thing here. It's like a 4-issue miniseries that got collected, but it's badass. He's got a great style, and this Batman 100 Year 100, very, very cool. Highly recommend it. Continuing on, we got Batman versus Predator, or Batman versus Alien, or Batman versus Judge Dredd. Any of these crossover books are awesome. I mean, just like in general, if you can find Batman fighting predators, Batman fighting aliens, Batman fighting Judge Dredd, it's all going to be great. A lot of it is probably going to be written by Alan Grant, who is an awesome writer. Pretty sure he's a Brit, known for like work on like 2000 AD stuff, hence his connection to Judge Dredd. Alan Grant's great. He's written some of my favorite Batman stuff. He's really good. I think he was the person who was writing, there was a series called Shadow of the Bat ages ago that was like an extra book released. The first arc of Batman Shadow of the Bat is actually great. I don't remember what that trade paperback is called, but if you go online and look Batman what collects the first 4 issues of Batman Shadow of the Bat, I think it's a Hugo Strange story where Batman gets locked up in Arkham Asylum. Really good story, and that was written by Alan Grant. Alan's written tons of stuff, and he's written a bunch of these different crossover things, but some of them might be written by other creators. Yeah, Batman Predator, you may be surprised, but awesome. Really, really awesome to see Batman and the Predator because, you know, Predator is a worthy opponent. Or Batman versus Aliens. I mean, I probably haven't read all of these that have been made, but every time he crosses over with these characters, it kills. I mean, Batman Spawn is fun too. I happen to like Judge Dredd crossovers and Predator and Alien crossovers better, but I recommend these as well. Then we've got a Batman Lobo, which is by Grant and Beasley. Yeah, Alan Grant's responsible for a couple of my favorite graphic novel stuff for Lobo. Oh man, there's some great trade paperbacks for Lobo. One of them's called Lobo the Last Zarnian, which is the best one. It just establishes his origin, and it's amazing. It doesn't exactly establish his origin. It kind of takes him back through his origin by introducing him to the Last Zarnian. Lobo is a character who always keeps his word, and that gets him into trouble sometimes where he's stuck doing things that he doesn't want to do because he promised. And there is a Zarnian. He's supposed to be the last of his kind because he killed his entire race. But there's one more Zarnian left. And wouldn't you know it, it's his like algebra teacher from fourth grade. And he hates her and he wants to kill her so badly, but he can't. And this book is amazing. Simon Bisley is one of my favorite artists. And the Batman Lobo book that they did years later is awesome. Oh, in the middle of this too, there's another Lobo book called Lobo's Back. Amazing. If you want to enjoy the Batman Lobo book that much more, first read Lobo the Last Zarnian and then read Lobo's Back. Then if you really want to be an aficionado, go read the Lobo paramilitary Christmas special where he tries to kill the Easter Bunny. And then read Batman Lobo. Anyway, I think that one's a great one. We're getting towards the end of this list. I'm so excited. And it has filled up plenty of time. I wasn't sure if the list was long enough, but I figured it probably was to at least do two parts. So here's another kind of abstract one. There is a book on the Joker. It's just called The Joker. It's by Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermejo. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. He's this painter. I don't know if it's digital painting or what. Oh my God, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. He's done a bunch of takes at Batman at this point in time. I think there might even be like a follow-up to this. There's a Superman version of this pairing of Brian Azzarello and him doing some stuff. Joker was really cool. Brian Azzarello is a great author to follow. Lee Bermejo. If you can figure out whose name I'm saying, he's a great artist that you could follow. Okay, finally, we've got Batman Elseworlds recommendations. There are a ton of Batman Elseworlds, and really, like, if you get into Batman at some point in time, you just go, ooh, 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 what are the best Batman Elseworlds, and you will get a list, because this is not comprehensive. This is just a few good ones that I recommend, but there are a ton of Batman Elseworlds. There's a ton that I've read that I didn't remember. I couldn't remember because I didn't have my long box of comic books. I looked up a whole bunch of different lists that people had made and reading chronologies and a couple different things, looking for things that I recognized and books that I remembered. And then, you know, some books would make me think of other books, and you know, like that Matt Wagner Faces one that I recommended at the end of the thing. I was just like thinking, I was like, oh yeah, that one. I love that one. So here's a couple that I really like. Batman Noel is really cool. And The Doom That Came to Gotham. Both of these are by Mike Mignola, the artist behind Hellboy. These books look beautiful. And they are beautiful. There are so many, though, that you can get into from here. In particular, the Batman where he's a vampire. I didn't write down the arc. I don't remember what it was called. But there's some really gorgeous books of him as a vampire character that are super, super cool. In the Justice League world, and Batman's plenty part of this, there's a big story arc where it's called Justice League The Nail, and Superman doesn't join the Justice League. He's not a known commodity because basically the rocket doesn't land where it's supposed to land. So Ma and Pa Kent never get Superman. He doesn't get raised to be this wonderful American dream embodiment. And he's off somewhere else. And the Justice League and all these storylines and everything that's been going on in the world of superheroes is rudderless in that Superman isn't there. Batman's still there. And that's a great one. A really great Elseworlds story for you guys to check out. But again, there's tons. There's tons more. Oftentimes by really great artists, like somebody like a Paul Pope, where they're like, hey, Paul, come on and do your thing. Do whatever it is that you want to do. Do something interesting. You don't have to worry about continuity. You don't have to worry about anything. Just write a cool story. So there's tons of people who have done great Elseworlds stories, and there's great Elseworlds stories for every character. I mean, every main character, at least, in the DC universe. So highly recommend that. I really hope that you're out there and you're listening to this and this is giving you the fire that you need to get yourself into comic books. Batman in particular, is some of the greatest time I have spent reading in my life. You know, I've spent just hours and hours and hours of my life reading at this point, and I do not regret all the time I have spent reading Batman. And the amount of Batman that I've read, the amount of crappy Batman that I've read is so little. I mean, just generally speaking, there is such great stuff out there. I mean, that's why, you know, I did the Comics 101. And if you go, you find my episode of Comics 101, Getting Into Comics, did that a couple weekends ago. That's great. That'll get you into comics in general. But Batman, he's such a great entry-level character into comics. And I think I'm going to do some other episodes like this in the future, trying to help you get into various characters in particular, because it's just a good way to get into the writers and some artists and some classic things. But Batman in particular, like, who doesn't want to give Batman a try? Who hasn't watched a Batman film and gone, man, this is pretty cool? And Batman, Bruce Wayne, the Batman character, he He has never been done justice on the big screen, not for his character. And it's because of all of his relationships that they haven't exactly gotten right. You know, you start to get Batman right a little bit in the Christopher Nolan trilogy, where we get Morgan Freeman's character. Lucius Fox is a really pivotal character to the Batman mythology. There are more. Really, it's like, you know, Leslie Thompson, I think, is the name of the doctor who is a friend of his dad's, and his relationship with her is so wonderful. And there's so many relationships in the Batman comic books that are just amazing. You know, stories, it's all about the relationship between the one thing and the other thing. And the relationships between the one thing and the other thing in Batman, I mean, like, there is no better relationship on display than all of the different Robins and all of the different bad guy relationships. You know, just because every bad guy has a great relationship to the psychology of Batman, and every Robin has a relationship to the psychology of the Batman. And I really cannot recommend the world and mythology of Batman to you enough. There was this terrible quote that I'm going to do like my whole next episode on, from Taika Waititi, talking about how, sorry, man, you know, you wanted this story arc that I did for Thor to be exactly like the comics. Go read the comics. No, man, you're missing it. The comics are better. You're not doing a good job. Fans of the comics are not saying to you, hey, man, you should have made your thing more like the comic. We're saying the comic was better. You didn't do a version of the story. You fucked up the story. You did what you wanted to do. You did not honor the thing that I love. You did not bring Thor to life. You made him a joke. We're aggravated. We don't like this. We wanted to see Thor like the comic books, not Thor like any way you choose, which is what they've been doing, any way they choose. And Batman, you know, he is the same. The greatest thing they did with Christopher Nolan, they brought in David S. Goyer. David S. Goyer is a comic book writer in addition to being a film screenwriter. He's great. He knows comics. He's been writing comics. He's a fan of comics. That's why he's so good. He also wrote the Blade movies. That's why he was able to adapt that so well, because he gets the comics. He gets the concepts. Getting the comics and getting the concepts is very important to adapting them. We don't just willy-nilly want comic books to be turned into movies and do whatever you want with them. The concepts that drive these things and make them so worth watching, reading, whatever, they already exist. And they need to be brought forth into the films. I'm hoping that James Gunn is going to do it with these new films. But you know what? I am tired of waiting. And you should be too. So go out. Pick up a comic book store. Go to a comic book store. Pick up a comic book store. Go to a Barnes & Noble's. Pick up a comic book. Pick up a comic book store. Pick up a comic book. Comic books are really easy. They're easy to get your hands on. Don't be afraid. Just start reading. This is the second part. I've given you like at least 100 amazing recommendations for Batman. You will be reading Batman for freaking 10 years, depending on how fast you read. If you read every Batman thing that I recommended here, because I didn't just recommend like one thing. I was like mentioning the name of the first story arc, but so many of these things, they go for a long time. These were writers who were on the books for a few years, and all of their runs have been collected in trade paperbacks. There is so much to read here that I've given you, and you will not regret it. I promise. Anyway, I love you guys. Thank you guys for listening to the show. I appreciate you guys giving me your time. I hope that there are a lot of people who have never read comics before who are hearing this, and they're going to go out and read some Batman. That nothing would make me happier. And if that's true, if you do that, if you go out and read some of these comic books because I'm recommending them, I want to hear what you think about them. So please write me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com. You can also hit me up at coolestgeekjbs on the Twitter. And yeah, I do a toy show called Toys, 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 the Coolest Geek, a live stream with my buddies every Thursday, although I skipped this week because I had parent-teacher conferences. But you can check that out. That's 7-4 Pacific. And I do my regular show every Wednesday. And of course, we do this special show every Saturday. So I hope you will join me again for another fabulous episode of The Coolest Geek Alive!
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Coolest alive.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Stay with your tribe.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Revenge of the Geeks.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Week after week.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Laughing with you.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
And cry sometimes too.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Spelling it out.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Making you shout.
You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening.
Talking some shit.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Living the shit.
My voice gonna be fucking awesome.
Food in our mouth.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Get in the mouth.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Tell all your friends.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Call right our text.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Raising the bar.
Fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. It's gotta be fucking awesome. Just wait. You'll see. You'll all see.
The Podcast Playground.